It is the first Monday of October, which means it's time for another edition of Mondays with Mike. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, October 1st. And we welcome your questions for Mike at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, joins us the beginning of each month to share news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and respond to your feedback. And he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Happy October to you.
That's right. It's the first Monday in October, which it happens to be that I'm here. But I actually, and maybe this tells what a geek I can be, this is the first day of the Supreme Court session, first Monday in October. There was a famous book by that name. And so I've been tuning back and forth between the Ideas Network and the NPR News and Classical Network this morning because I like hearing Nina Totenberg's summary of what might happen in the court over the course of a year. And so that first Monday in October is a big day.
That is funny. I was going to say that is pretty geeky, but it's not so geeky. That's okay. You know, I know you were really busy this week, and I unfortunately was unable to attend, in part because of my schedule. But you got to see, I'm very jealous, you got to see the Radio Lab in the Dark performance last night, which was in conjunction with the Wisconsin Science Festival.
Well, that's right. They actually were also in Milwaukee the night before and in Chicago the night before that. So the whole cast, Jad Abumrad and Robert Krulwich and everyone, they had Palobolas there to do some really incredible visuals, sort of radio coming alive in a visual space. Really just wonderful. They did a kind of a modern take on that old idea that many of us that have been at like a holiday service where you have candles that are lit and you light up the whole room. Well, instead we had little batteries and diodes, light-emitting diodes, and we lit the whole room like stars.
Oh,
with that.
Neat.
And I feel since they're probably not doing the show again and certainly not here, I could tell people about that. It was gorgeous.
Well, it's interesting too because you don't think of radio as a visual medium, but it is in some people. We create pictures in our minds when we're listening to radio.
Well, that's right. In fact, we had a little event afterward to meet them and so on, and they were talking about how they really needed the whole crew of Palobolas to help them. Because they're just two guys, as they would say, and incredibly smart, creative guys, but they're two guys that make radio shows, and Palobolas and their directors help them to make things come alive in very visual ways. Yet, a number of people commented, oh, when I was listening, I closed my eyes because I was imagining just hearing you on the radio.
That's something. And besides Radio Lab in the Dark, there was a special performance of old-time radio night, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That was also in conjunction with the Wisconsin Science Festival. How was that?
That was really neat. One of the things that they were able to do, because the setting is the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery in Madison, and they have, they call it the Forum. It's this round room, so they could do sort of theater in the round, and they created Jules Verne's submarine basically in our minds by setting the actors in a way that those of us that were right there could see them as if in a submarine, just the way they set up the microphones and so on. And it's always fun to do a live radio theater broadcast because we got to be a part of the production, including audience participation, you know, not just clapping and so on, but there were two points where we had the opportunity to make some noises. Like I remember one where we were supposed to repeat as a kind of a murmur, there's something going on, there's something going on. And that was meant to be heard as a kind of a crowd murmur over the radio, and that was a lot of fun.
If you weren't able to be in the actual audience for this live old-time radio theater, that was what you heard on Saturday night.
On most of the Ideas Network,
Most of the Ideas Network stations. Yeah, well, it sounded like you had a very, very busy, weekend, and now we have a very busy week here at Wisconsin Public Radio because Mike, tomorrow is day one of the fall pledge drive.
Yes, this is our big pledge drive of the year. Nearly $1 million is our goal. I think it's $950,000. And always the fall drive is our big drive. And we'll be looking for everybody listening to help out. You know, of course, you can always make a pledge, but a lot of people really do like to respond during a campaign. And that's just fine. We love that. You know, as much as some people might like pledge drives to go away, and we understand that, it remains a wonderful method for us to find new friends and encourage ongoing friends to pledge another support.
Well, here's a comment from our listener log. During your pledge drives, you never say that any amount will be okay to donate. I can only guesstimate that the 200,000 plus listeners you have would be happy to give what they could if they would actually hear from you that even a dollar or two would help make things go a long way. I am a loyal listener and even have you in my will, but I know many people who are struggling but would be happy to spare a couple of dollars towards such a valuable resource like WP. I guess this listener wants it made known that even a couple of dollars would help.
And that's absolutely right. And in fact, it's funny what we hear and don't hear. I know I experienced this on the radio or watching television. They said what? Or the opposite, which is, I can't believe they didn't say that. And I know that it is one of our kind of almost rehearsed things that we say. And every dollar makes a difference. I know I say that a lot when I'm on the radio. And this commenter is absolutely right. In fact, just to dig into the mechanics a little bit, when you make a pledge to WPR, you're actually becoming a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, and you'll have a vote for picking the people on the board and all of that. And that's basically the 501c3 organization, the tax exempt organization that helps fundraise for public radio here in Wisconsin for our stations. And as a member, you can become a member for a dollar. Or it could be, you know, 50 cents or whatever. But the idea is that we don't have a minimum membership. Many stations say that our starting membership is $35 or whatever. No minimum for WPR, never has been, and I don't think that will change. And so whether someone can make a $5,000 contribution, a $50 contribution, you get the idea, and we'll get really into that over the course of the next week and a half. So that's the basic idea, and that commenter is absolutely right. Every dollar does help.
Well, maybe you can call in and tell us why you support Wisconsin Public Radio or why you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, along with your question for Mike Crane, who is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our fall pledge drive will begin tomorrow. It will run through Saturday, October 13th. We will be providing all sorts of great reasons to listen during the pledge drive, so I hope you will stay tuned.
And
I know
a couple of good drawings and things, too,
yeah.
Including for Packer tickets. That,
cool.
You know, that can be a pretty hard thing to get, and we've got a pair that we'll be giving away.
Yeah, they won a squeaker yesterday.
Yeah.
But that's, oh,
better
that sounds
than the week
fun.
Before, yeah.
Yeah, and we will... We will have lots of special thank you gifts during this show and other shows on the Ideas Network. For example, tomorrow at this time, it's On Your Money with financial planner Kevin McKinley, and he will be offering a very nice booklet on ways to save for college, and that will be free with any pledge of support during On Your Money tomorrow at this time. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We have a lot of election-related coverage coming up, Mike, on Wisconsin Public Radio. Lots of specials, candidate forums, that sort of thing.
That's right. In fact, we started, you were talking about what a full weekend this was. The WBA, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association debate with Tammy and Tommy was broadcast on WPR last Friday evening, and I know we talked about it earlier this morning, both on the other network and here on the Ideas Network as we were looking at the weekend and the past week. And so that's just kind of the kickoff. There's going to be the presidential debate this week that will be heard here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have candidate forums for U.S. Senate and U.S. House races. rather than try to list them all right now, they're on the website, and you also will hear us talk about each of them as they come along. So that you can be sure to tune in for those if you'd like.
Yes, WisconsinVote.org has a lot of that information, too, so you can check that out. We will indeed be following up on the presidential debate on Thursday morning on this program. The first presidential debate is Wednesday night. We'll have plenty of discussion afterwards on Thursday morning. And Thursday, by the way, is also the next time President Obama visits Wisconsin. He'll be in Madison on Thursday.
And there's something new we're trying. We're working with a number of stations, including WNYC, another of the really great talk stations in the United States in public radio. Brian Lehrer, who's a great host, is going to feature a presidential debate call-in preview. And that's going to be tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., and we'll be participating in that as well, and we hope that you will.
Great. And just an FYI as well, there will be another U.S. Senate debate on Thursday, October the 18th. We are also inviting the U.S. Senate candidates in Wisconsin to be with us here on the Joy Cardine Show and during At Issue with Ben Marins. Those we'll also be inviting the candidates running for the House of Representatives as well. And those candidate forums will be taking place the last two weeks of October. So lots of stuff. And then culminating with election night coverage, November the 6th, beginning at 8 o'clock when the polls close. So lots of information for you here on the Ideas Network related to elections. On the listener log, there is also someone who wants to know, I saw on Facebook that you have 2012 election buttons. My husband and I like the Listen Vote and the Informed Vote messages. The post simply said to contact my local station to get them. Is there anything else I need to do?
No, that's exactly right. You can get in touch with audience services right here at WPR, and we've got actually a couple of different ones you could ask for, the ones that were talked about on Facebook, and also a WisconsinVote.org one that we'll probably just send that out with the other ones you request. And that's talking about the nonpartisan website that we work on here at WPR with our friends at Wisconsin Public Television, where there's tons of great information about candidates and where to vote and all those sorts of things. So, yeah, just get in touch with audience services.
Well, I should say that you can get in touch with our audience services center. You can go to our website, WPR.org, and there will be spots there where you can contact audience services.
Under Contact Us.
Contact Us. There we go. And if you also, if you'd like to call, the number that I have memorized is 1-800-747-7444. That's the toll-free number to reach our audience services center, 1-800-747-7444. You can request those buttons, or that's a place where you can also leave a suggestion or some feedback or a question. You can do that anytime. But right now, you can talk with the head honcho himself, Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, who joins us during the beginning of each month to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. As the election approaches, the economy continues to be a crucial issue for all Americans. You can join Ben and his guest as they use humor and relatable explanations to break down and define complex economic principles. That's coming up after 3 this afternoon. Mike Crane is our guest. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He joins us usually on the first Monday of every month for Mondays with Mike, for you to ask your questions about anything you hear or you don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Joe in Franklin is with us first. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Joe.
It makes me crazy. I'll be listening to one of your shows, and I can't remember if you're in Milwaukee or Madison, so I don't know which number to call. Is it possible to just have one number for all of your shows?
For the toll-free number for the call-in shows?
It might be possible. I don't know. The system is very complex with all of the different things. For instance, I know sometimes when we've had John Munson on in Superior, he might even give a third number, depending on how we've got the system lined up at that time. That's something we can look into. But Joe, we do give out the number very regularly during that show to indicate that we're in Milwaukee or wherever we are. Should we give them more, or what's the story there?
Well, that kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier about what you hear and what you don't hear.
Mm.
I don't hear the number very often.
Huh.
Beginning of the show, certainly. But I'm in the car in and out all day, so if I jump into the middle of the show,
you might not catch it. Yeah, might be another, at least just a practical solution, is a good reminder for us that people don't just tune in at the very beginning and stick with it and write down the number knowing they're going to call, right?
Well, thank you very much, Joe, for that. I know that this is something we've looked into some years ago, but I don't remember what it was that prevented us from having the same toll-free number.
I do know we used to give out a toll-free number and a local number, and that made it confusing, too. We were able to solve that. So I think we've got two possible solutions, and we'll work on that.
And, Joe, you'll be happy to know, and I hope other listeners will be happy to know, that we are making a conscious effort now to we call it reset the program a little bit more often than we have been, where we will say who we are talking to and what we are talking about and give the number more often than perhaps you've been used to. So thank you for that prompt. Jackie in Drummond is with us. Hello, Jackie.
Oh, I'm really excited to be on. I'm a volunteer at WOJB 88.9 in Hayward, the Native American Community Station. Enjoy when you interviewed Paul DeMaine, you know, on the really emotional social issues affecting Native Americans. I was just so excited. I called Paul, and then I called the station. And I think it's really important periodically when there's issues to cover from a Native perspective. He talked about the elk hunt, the wolf hunt, and mining from the Native perspective and their treaty rights.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was so eloquent, and he writes, he has a newspaper. And I think it would be really interesting periodically to have things from a Native perspective. And if you go online, there's a lot of new Native books, Res Life and some other ones, written by authors in Minnesota. And I think the Native take is kind of missing from public radio. And like I said, I was just so excited when I heard Paul on the radio.
I'm glad you like that, Jackie, and I agree. But we'll also try to go to Paul DeMaine more often than we have in the past. He used to be Governor Earle's advisor on Native American issues in Wisconsin, and it's been a while since we've had him on.
And thanks for volunteering for WOJB. We very much admire that station, and it's not a Wisconsin public radio station. It is a public radio station in Wisconsin. Also, just to follow up, Jackie, one of the things that we're very intentionally doing, we're kind of kicking this off this month here inside of Wisconsin Public Radio, but also working with NPR on this. We're very aware that for us to do our best job of telling the truth about what's going on in the world, we need to hear more voices, more diverse voices, more different voices. And so I don't know whether this particular example was a part of that effort as we've been trying to spin it up, but we're consciously trying to make sure that we add more voices, including Native voices, to be heard just as part of our regular programs. And I was very struck. We had a board meeting this past week, and one of our board members, who's Native American, was pointing out that while it's true that a part of the Native experiences, Native flutes and, sort of shaman-like stories and so on, that the experience of Native Americans is as diverse as any other, you know, that there are Natives who are lawyers, Natives who are economists, et cetera, police officers, and so on, and that's something that we need to reflect in our programs.
Right. Thank you, Jackie, very much. Next, we go to Kim in Waupun. Hello, Kim.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I do not have a computer. Do not know how to use one. Cannot afford that X radio or Sirius radio, and I love Tavis Smiley, and I really highly respect Cornell West, and they have a show. And I was wondering if there was some way in the programming, I don't care what day, what week, what time, if you could possibly get their show on the air for us here in Wisconsin, if that's possible. I don't even know if that's possible. So that was my question.
We can take a look. So you know about the show. How'd you find out about it?
I actually saw them on C-SPAN, and they're going around the country talking about poverty and the poor and how that president, neither one, I mean, our president now and the one who is running, that nobody's talking about the poverty and about the poor and what we need to do to get us up, you know, besides jobs and minimum wage and that type of thing. And I saw their forum on C-SPAN last week.
Mm-hmm. I know Dr. West has been pretty critical of President Obama, and that's caused some controversy.
And so I was just, and they have a radio show on NPR or NPI, National Public Radio or something like that, they say.
Is that a PRI show?
PRI, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that we'll pass that suggestion on to the Ideas Network programming team.
Thank you very much, Kim, for that suggestion. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike is here to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a question for him, 1-800-642-1234. If you have some feedback for him, you can also send an email, talk@wpr.org. We have a listener log comment next. Several times a year, this listener writes, Capital Steps is on Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you know when the next one will be?
Sort of. you say, what? Well, and the reason is I haven't seen the memo from Cheryl yet telling us exactly when it will be scheduled, but I was looking at my calendar, and generally speaking, we schedule it the four times a year close to the holidays. So the next one would be considered kind of their Halloween special.
That's right.
And so I would say you certainly will hear us announcing it the week of October 21st, 22nd, because it's probably going to be that Friday, but it might be the next week because we schedule it right around Halloween, which is this year it's Wednesday the 31st.
That's right. There's a Halloween special from the Capitol Steps, a New Year's Eve special or a New Year's special. Then I always laugh, there was an April Fool's Day special.
That's right.
And I think a 4th of July
That's
special.
That's right. So yeah. They'll always be right around those dates and typically on the Friday evening closest to it. So look for it then, and we will certainly, because we love announcing it. And in fact, they've been kind of going around the state, and I know that some people are going to get a chance to experience them live. And I've had the chance a couple of times over the course of my life in different parts of the country, and it's a lot of fun. I think it's actually even more fun live than it is on the radio, and it is fun on the radio.
Yeah, I think I did notice that they're going to be at the Overture Center sometime in the next a week or so, if I'm not mistaken.
That's exactly right, and I know that we are planning on going, so it's like, oh, I'd better check my calendar. And I'm sure that it's this weekend. And yeah, yes, I've got it right here. It's the 5th, so Friday. My birthday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, well, yeah, happy birthday early.
That's right. Nice day to celebrate my birthday, and it looks like it's 7:30 at the Overture Center. And I believe that they still have a trip to Green Bay, but I'd encourage people to look that up online. And you can just Google Capital Steps, and you'll likely find their website and their schedule.
You know, I know that there's something coming up that I was intrigued by. It's called the Moth Story Slams. What is this?
So this is actually something that is happening in a lot of groups around the country, some of them on their own. There are story slams in Madison. X Fabula does some great ones in Milwaukee. And this is the story slam that is attached to the Moth Radio Hour and the longstanding Moth storytelling effort. And so a story slam is basically like this in the moth world. You come to a show, and if you'd like to kind of put your name in the hat to tell your 5-minute story extemporaneously, then you have a possibility that you'll get to do that. And over the course of the evening, a number of people get to tell their story. And because the people are coming right up from the audience, it's a really exciting experience, and people get to get a kind of a first chance. Sometimes the people that do these story slams end up in the Moth Radio Hour or in the big stage show version of the Moth that happens around the country. And we had one not that long ago in Milwaukee, but now every month there's the Moth Story Slam, and it's the first Thursday of October, November, and December. And let's see, I've got the details here they're going to be at the Miramar Theater in Milwaukee. That's at 2844 North Oakland Avenue. Doors open at 7. Stories start at 8. And we had a great first story slam, but we know we'd like an even bigger crowd. We heard that people had an incredibly fun time. And the theme for this Thursday is chemistry. And that can be interpersonal chemistry. It can be, you know, blowing things up. It can be making one of those volcanoes you make, and whatever it is that's the story that you might like to tell. So it's the Story Slam, the Miramar Theater in Milwaukee, and you can check that out online or look at WPR.org/Milwaukee, and we'll have details.
Boy, that sounds really good. And I know that there are some other special performances of different public radio shows happening this month as well. We'll get to those in just a moment, but we have a number of callers who have been waiting. So Ron in Clam Lake is with us. Hello, Ron.
Hello, this is Ron.
Hi, Ron. Yes.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for being on. I enjoy listening to an update of what's happening in WPR. A few months back, we did some afternoon changing, you know, programming, and we added Q from 5 to 6. Is that still evaluated, or is that going to be a permanent fixture?
I personally don't
care for it.
Oh, I was about to ask that. Yeah. And yes, it's still being evaluated. Typically, what we try to do is leave things in place long enough that we have at least a couple of the Arbitron survey periods to look at, because the conventional wisdom about programs is that they build audience slowly or they kill audience fast. And so we'll be try to balance those possibilities and see. I've heard interestingly mixed stuff about Q. Did you want to elaborate a bit on your thinking there, Ron?
Well, it's just that 5 to 6 is a typical, you know, time to get news. And again, we're a family. We have WPR on all day long, and it's nice to get news though between 5 and 6. And the music, the type of music, some of the interviews are interesting, but some of the music just isn't our particular taste. So.
Okay, well, terrific. Thanks for the comment, and we are definitely still evaluating that. One comment I recall, someone said they thought, great show, but maybe belongs on later at night, particularly because of the music stuff, maybe as an alternative rather than right there at the middle of the evening drive time. So thanks, Ron.
Thank you very much, Ron. This correction, apparently, Cheryl Gasser stopped in and told Bill Martins, my producer, that the next Capital Steps isn't until New Year's. For whatever reason, maybe the Halloween special has been discontinued.
Okay, well, then don't listen that week I just recommended.
Sorry, that used to always be in Halloween, but apparently this year there is no Halloween special. So the next Capital Steps will be around New Year's. So tune in then. You know, I see that Says You is coming to Milwaukee for a taping. That's the word game show that we air on Sunday mornings on the Ideas Network, and that's going to be on Saturday, October the 20th.
Yep, and in fact, apparently the reserved seating is already sold out, but there is some general admission seating that's still available. And again, you'll find that information at WPR.org/Milwaukee on the website. You can always call audience services too. They'll let you know if you don't have a computer or don't want to do it that way. That's fine. We're happy to take the call as well. And yeah, it Says You is a lot of fun for us word geeks. They come up with just the most clever ways of thinking and joking, and I think it promises to be a really exciting evening.
You know, we have one of the special guests we have lined up for the upcoming Pledge Drive, Mike. I don't know exactly what day he's going to be on, but Carl Castle is going to be on.
Speaking of word games and so on.
Wait, don't tell me. The announcer for Wait, Don't Tell Me will be our guest during the Pledge Drive. And I just saw, and I'm going to have someone look it up, that Wait, Don't Tell Me is coming to Wisconsin as well.
November 15th, I know that for sure, because I won't be able to go.
Oh, boo.
I'm going to be out of town at the time. And November 15th, and I think it's at the Pabst, but we'll look it up and I'll give you a little more detail before the show is over.
And I understand you're going to be in Stevens Point coming up to see Yo-Yo Ma. What is this?
Yo-Yo Ma and the Silk Road Ensemble. This is a very interesting sort of a cross-cultural thing that Yo-Yo is working on and has been doing for a couple of years. And we're excited to know that they're coming to Stevens Point, to that wonderful theater at Century Insurance. And that's Thursday, October 18th, and there's a get-together afterward that I'll be at. So if you're at the show and come to the after-show party, I'm sure I'll be wearing a name tag and be happy to meet anyone that would like to talk with me.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. If you would like to talk to Mike right now, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Ray in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Ray.
What stuns me from a university radio station is your hosts have their positions for life. They're white. They're middle-aged. You have two callers throughout the state that are black. It's Victor in Milwaukee, Ron, the Vietnam vet up in Monroe, Wisconsin. Why don't you bring in some students to run a few shows, some people of color, so that the audience base listening to these shows are more than just white middle-aged people? How can you call yourself a university station when you don't let the students on? And by the way, NPR is doing its shows at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee, which is non-union. Why are you playing in non-union houses?
Ray, thanks for the call.
Yeah, there's a number of questions there. As far as the non-union houses, I'm not sure what NPR's plans are on that. And it would be something you might want to take up at NPR.org and send them that question. As far as the white hosts, it's certainly an issue that we recognize that, longstanding employees tend by historical measure to be more white than not, although we have more of a mix than may be evident. Because, for instance, Veronica Rickard is Latina, but her name doesn't necessarily suggest that. But it is something that we're aware of and trying to address. Ray, I understand your concern, but hiring is an ongoing process, something that we are trying to address. It's also why we're trying to address who our guests are, so that we can have more diverse voices on.
Absolutely. Maybe just a brief response to being a university station and not allowing students on, Mike.
Yeah, well, there's an interesting mix of that. There are a lot of students working behind the scenes here, and actually, very often, the announcers that are on in the evenings and weekend are students that are employed by us as mm-hmm. announcers, and sometimes they turn into future hosts, future reporters. I'm thinking, for instance, of Rich Kramer as a great example of someone who was a student with us and became a regular employee, and Danny Kading for a while when she was with us, same thing. Sometimes they move on. And so that is something that that we wonder about in terms of being able to retain them. Also, we work with student stations that are at the university right across our from our building. For instance, there's WSUM, and that's the student station that, in fact, a lot of staffers, Larry Mueller is one of them that's been engaged with the students at WSUM. There's a wonderful student station in Stevens Point, and actually all around the state there are pockets of wonderful student radio. And they have some very different interests sometimes than the kind of topics that we're doing. Just one other thing about university relationship. We're a part of the University of Wisconsin Extension and very much see ourselves as not unlike Extension agents or all the other units that are part of Extension, a part of reaching out to the entire state with the resources of the university.
And just to confirm, wait, don't tell me, we'll be taping on Thursday, November the 15th at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, who is here the first Monday of every month, usually, to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio, sharing some behind-the-scenes information and talking about some of the upcoming events on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we welcome your questions for him and your feedback for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. Kathleen and her guest will recap the latest news from Washington and the campaign trail. It's all things political coming up after 9. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Rosie in Monroe is our next caller. Hello, Rosie.
Hi. I seem to have an issue, maybe it's just here, but I don't get any of your nighttime programming.
How so? You mean the stations don't come in?
The station fades out. It actually, in the middle of the night, it becomes 970 ESPN.
I can tell you about that one, Rosie. And in fact, you've noticed exactly the effect that actually has to happen. 970 AM WHA and also 9:30 a.m. WLBL in Auburndale are two a.m. stations. They're kind of a legacy of Wisconsin Public Radio's history that we have those stations. Unlike all of our FM stations, they broadcast in a different technical way that the way that AM radio stations work during the day, the atmosphere actually kind of, because it's agitated by the sun, blocks the signal from bouncing all over the place the way that an AM signal wants to. But at night, without the sun, AM signals bounce and go much, much farther. And so the Federal Communications Commission requires some stations to drop power so that other stations, including the ESPN station you're mentioning, can broadcast without interference. And that goes way, way back to a concept that the nation needed a number of large stations that could broadcast over wide areas for a variety of purposes, including notification of emergencies, that sort of thing. So our two stations are required to go to very low power at night. And it can be frustrating.
Yeah, that's the AM stations. But Rosie, can you pick up the FM station in Highland? 91.3, I think.
I don't know. I know the 107.9, that's supposed to be the other half of...
Yeah, but in Monroe...
On my radio. My radio won't go there.
Yeah, that's actually right, because the 107.9 FM is an extremely small repeater in Madison. It really kind of only covers the east side of Madison very well. And there's actually a repeater at 90.9 that covers the west side of Madison pretty well. But you might try 91.3 and see if you can pick up our Highland station, or if you're able to, listen online too. But yeah, it's a problem with AM radio that isn't going away. In fact, I want to mention, although this isn't specific for your situation, that WLBL, as a matter of fact, does go to low power. And so when we're doing our election coverage in central Wisconsin, a lot of it will be heard on our FM channel, WHRM, because we want to make sure that all the candidate forums that are on at night will be heard well as well. So for those of you that listen to that station, make sure to tune to the FM station in that area.
And that's in the Wausau area or central Wisconsin. Okay. Rosie, thank you for the call. Next, we have another comment from the listener log. When will I see a WPR Android app? You say very soon, but that's kind of vague. Are we talking about days, weeks, or longer?
My understanding is that it's weeks. I think, as happens with technical things, they thought they had it right, but then they kept testing and something was wrong. So they've told me they're very close. Weeks could still be a month because there are 4 weeks in a month, but we are intending to get that there soon. And one of the things we know is it's all very exciting to have an iPad app, and we do, and an iPhone app. But many, many people use Android devices now, far more, in fact, numerically, than use the iPhone and the iPad. So we're hell-bent on getting that out. So thanks for that question.
Back to the phone, Sarah in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Sarah.
Morning, Joy and Mike.
Hi.
I was inspired to call by a couple of your previous callers. First of all, I love Q. I very quickly became endeared to Gian Gomeshi and a lot of the interviews that he does. So if that left, I would sorely miss it, although I wouldn't mind if it was aired an hour or two later.
Okay.
As far as the the idea of having hosts, having university students host, I personally have yet to hear a university radio show with very good, experienced DJs or hosts. And they have typically have university radio stations to get practice, but if public Wisconsin Public Radio started having student hosts, I would imagine that the quality would go down, and that would be frustrating. And then finally, Joy, you had a new political analyst on last week.
Yes, we did. Daryl Mayfield, I believe his name was.
And it's hard for me to tell over the radio, but he sounds like he's an African-American. Is that correct?
He is. Yes, he is.
And I found him to be very intelligent and practical at sounding and a very good debater. So
well, good.
I would just say keep up the good work.
Thank you for pointing that out. And that is what we are trying to do, Mike, in terms of what you were talking about earlier, is to expand on the voices heard on Wisconsin Public Radio and diversify the guests that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we thought with the Week in Review that we would reach out to some new people. And Daryl Mayfield is a professor of culture at Upper Iowa University, and he lives in Wausau. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, that's one of the things we're trying to do. Thanks
well,
very much.
And the filter for diversity is not only race or ethnicity, but all kinds of diverse viewpoints, because I think we're really convinced that we aren't in an either-or situation. It's not that Republicans or Democrats have all the solutions, but that we want to hear from wherever solutions to our community's problems are available, and that could come from almost any viewpoint. So we want to have lots of viewpoints on.
Well, let me also correct myself. Daryl Mayfield is an instructor of business ethics at Upper Iowa University, and he teaches courses on diverse cultures in the U.S. And he is also someone who follows politics and had lots to say about the news of the week. Janet in Sauk City is with us now. Hello, Janet.
Good morning. First of all, I want to say that I am an older listener. I am a sustaining member. I love WPR. I couldn't live without it. I truly couldn't. But that brings me to my point. I hate Q. I mean, I don't just dislike it. I hate it. I have gotten to the point where at 5 o'clock, which is usually my time home or driving home, sadly, I've turned off the radio. I find it fluff. I find it, there's no politics, and I guess I'm kind of like some of the hosts there. I'm a political junkie. Mm-hmm. There is no politics. And it, I find it very frustrating, and the music just irritates me. And maybe it's because I'm older, but it feels like it's geared to a much younger audience is the way it feels to me. And, you know, I don't listen to the radio particularly late because I go to bed quite early. I'm up very early. So, you know, that drive time home, I feel like I want news. I want politics, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that, you know, Q, yeah, I don't care if it goes away. I just would like to see it move.
So it's not where you'd like to listen, sure. You know, Janet, your comment really does introduce a puzzle that we feel at public radio. I'm sure commercial radio feels this, which is that we do have a lot of people tell us that we've got to do more to find younger audiences. And the problem is that anytime that we do something that's admittedly this, you'd say that Q probably does appeal to younger people than yourself. But therefore doesn't appeal to you, and we only have the radio station to do it. So we do puzzle over this all the time. And I'm happy to have – this is kind of typical that we have kind of a point-counterpoint with listeners about whether something works or not. And so you can imagine our decisions get pretty involved as we're trying to figure it out. And really thank you for your comment.
Thank you very much. Thank you for being a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio, too, which means that she is donating on a monthly basis.
That's right. You can also work it out quarterly or something like that, but most people do monthly. And you'll hear in our upcoming pledge drive a lot of emphasis on sustaining members, because that really does make a huge difference. If you simple sort of a math thing you can imagine is that when we try to send a renewal notice in the mail, and if you're like me, it may be the third or fourth or fifth notice. It may be that someone has pledged after 15 months instead of after 12 months. And so being able to make sure that you give at least the same amount, if not raise your amount from year to year, is really helpful to WPR being a sustainable enterprise.
And our next caller is Howard in Portage. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Joy. Good morning.
Morning.
I still miss A Splendid Table. I thought that was pretty entertaining and involving. When I travel around and hear World Cafe on different states, I enjoy that. And I wonder, with the retirement of Click and Clack, if we should revise a locally produced automotive show.
Well, that's an interesting question. One of the things they've told us specifically on the retirement of Click and Clack is that they're planning on mining the archives they've got and providing the show for an ongoing basis, and that still there will be a lot of fresh material on there. One of the secrets of how what you might call a call-out show, like Car Talk or Zorba Pastor on Your Health, for instance, is that they record more calls than actually make it to the air. So they'll be working on that. And, you know, it is something we'll be watching and listening for comments on. I kind of suspect it will continue to be as popular as ever. It certainly was in the most recent survey period. It's still the most popular program on public radio. And that was all repeats, as it turned out, because they haven't recorded a new one in a while. And so we'll see. Thanks for those thoughts, Howard.
Thank you very much, Howard. From the listener log, Wisconsin Public Radio should expand on its Wisconsin Life series. In addition to the current format, you should perhaps highlight famous Wisconsinites past and present. So someone who's a big fan of Wisconsin Life, which is an audio essay series that runs weekly, I think twice a week on the NPR News and Classical Music Network, and we also air it at 6:35 a.m. on the Joy Cardine Show on Friday mornings. So this listener would like that to be expanded. And I thought we should also talk a little bit, Mike, about how Wisconsin Life is sponsoring a ghost story writing contest.
Yeah. So first, about the comment of expanding the series, Ann Strange Champs, who's the founding producer and still deeply involved, talks about how the subject areas for Wisconsin Life are like dipping a spoon in a lake and trying to get all the water out.
Yeah, there's so much.
There's just so much. And it's one of those series that we can just imagine all kinds of things. We've been talking with public television about a possible TV version. We've thought of numerous subject areas. But I want to encourage people to look at wisconsinlife.org. That's our website for Wisconsin Life. And they'll find a lot more information about our Flash Fiction Writing Contest. And it's for ghost stories, 600 words or less. So just about a boo and you're done. And all of the details for how that works are there. And you can, there's an actual page that you just click to. It says visit our Flash Fiction page for the complete contest details. And the deadline is coming up very quick. It's October 7th. So basically the end of this next weekend. So if you think you might have the gift and might like to have it heard on the radio, take a look at wisconsinlife.org for that.
It was a dark and stormy night. No, never mind.
I think that's been used. By Snoopy, at least.
Only a minute to go. Simply Folk is going to be doing some big Halloween show, I believe, coming up at the end of the month.
Oh, they've got all kinds of great plans, as usual. A big Halloween show, and they've been actively adding things like podcasts at simplyfolk.org that you can check out, and on Halloween, October 22nd, is when they'll do their Halloween show, Murder Ballads and Scary Stories.
There we go.
Including the monkey's paw.
Don't be afraid, Mike. Our pledge drive starts tomorrow. Yeah, so we have our pledge drive starting tomorrow. I hope that you will tune in. I hope that you will support Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, Mike, that'll do it for this Mondays with Mike.
Thanks, everybody. It's always great fun to interact with you, and keep those calls and letters coming, as they say.
That's right. Go to WPR.org. You can call 1-800-747-7444. You can also write a letter, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Always looking for your feedback and your questions about Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.